What a joy it must have been to be with our Lord, to hear all of his words during the 3.5 years of his ministry. And as our Lord was explaining the strange things to the ears of the apostles about his presence, there was a question that came to him. And we read this question in John 14:22. Judas saith unto him, now this was the author of the Epistle of Jude, so this is not Judas Iscariot, and the gospel makes that note. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So that's the question. Now here's our Lord's answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So this is the part we want to focus on for our devotional here. If a man love me, he will keep my words. What are those words? Should we only study those words? There's a suggestion, only look at the red letters in the New Testament. Those are the words of Jesus. That's more than sufficient. Jesus also made clear that if somebody doesn't love me, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And we're looking here, the Greek for sayings and that, entoles, is just a little different from words, but we're going to stay with the translation in our text, keep my words. By this, he's talking about his commandments. And we're going to explore five of these in a basic way. The question came to him, we read this in Mark 12:28-30, what is the first commandment of all? That was the question. Here, Jesus could not have been more orthodox. He said what exactly everybody who had been through the tutelage of the Jewish system would say. Jesus answered and said, the first of all commandment is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we have an answer here on one of the commandments that we need to keep. Like those that were faithful under the law, we need to love the Lord our God with all of our soul and our mind and our strength. And we're told the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So here we have love brought to us, beginning with love for our Heavenly Father, and that love continuing with love towards our neighbors. But that's not where our Lord stopped. We read in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:44, we're to love our enemies. And this is challenging. I was enjoying a read through the principal rabbi of England. It's Sir Jonathan Sacks, actually, who wrote a good book called Not in God's Name. It's basically a discussion on terrorism. And, of course, he's familiar with the Gospels, and he said, you know, love your enemies is is really a hard-to-reach standard. He didn't disagree with it. He thought that was a good thing, but he said, now the law asks a little bit less than love your enemies. And he admitted that the law asked a little bit less. He said, the law said, if you see your enemy's ox in a ditch or, you know, hurt in some way, or their, you know, ass or in a ditch or something like that, you should go and relieve it of its suffering and give it back. So you should at least love your enemy's dumb animals. and he thought that was at least an achievable standard. And, you know, our world is indeed suffering because of the blindness, the unwise decisions men have made. But again, our Lord says, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. There is so much sorrow in this world. And we're told that we're to pray for our enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So now we've got three aspects to the love. Love for God, love for our neighbor, love even for our enemies. Then sometimes maybe what might be a tough love. As our Lord was closing his ministry, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, that shouldn't be tough to do, to love our brethren. But, you know, we expect a lot of our brethren. And when we're disappointed, gets hard. That's a test. It's a test of love. So if we start with just looking at love, we see that there are four loves commanded by our Lord. Love for the Heavenly Father, and of course that would include for Jesus. Love for our neighbors, love for our enemies, and love for the brethren, which of course we understand to include all the household of faith. Now, there could be an argument. Some would say, you know, that's really the end of the commandments right there. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. So this is the question. Is being loving the beginning and ending of the commandments of Jesus, or the words of Jesus? Some will argue for that. One of my Facebook friends said, you know, we're not going to be judged by what we know in terms of prophecy. We're going to be judged based on our love. And of course, it is true that we will be judged based on our love. But this is not the end of the commandments, because we're told, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does it require to make us sanctified, to make us holy? Well, our Lord laid this out for us in John 17:17. I don't even need to read that. We all know this. And as we look into the scriptures, without doing that, without trying to understand and harmonize the scripture, we're going to really have a challenge on the sanctification that the scriptures call for. And what a blessing that in this time of the harvest, we've got a wise and faithful servant in our Pastor Russell that has presented this material so that we can understand it so easily. I think that this is part of what we are commanded to do, is to make the present truth our own. I think this is included in that symbol we find in Revelation about the saints having a seal in their forehead, which is linked to a seal of knowledge as opposed to the seal in the heart. So going back to our Lord's words, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. The scriptures would indicate that we need to study Jesus' words, no question. Those are not even his words. Those are his Father's words. But we need to be students of all the scriptures. We need that to build character. We need that so that we can properly direct our service. We need that so we can properly understand doctrine. And we need that certainly so that we can understand prophecy and what's happening in these times. So are those the end of Jesus' commandments? Well, Jesus said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, he is the one that will save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come. Paul puts it this way, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I thought that the words that we find in the sermon book under the sermon, The Church Crucified with Christ, were really good ones to share and to consider. And so I'm going to read, this is a quote, you can find it in that specific part of the sermon book. As our Lord set aside and crucified his own will, accepting the Father's will instead, so we as his footstep followers set aside and crucify our wills or desires, no matter how good or wise they appear to us. To accept instead the guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The nearer a person is to perfection, well, that's a good thing. The nearer a person is to perfection, the stronger is his will, and the more difficult to crucify. The more confident anyone is that his will is good and for the good and blessing to others, the more difficult it is to see a good reason for surrendering it. Well, now that's very wise counsel. Again, if a man love me, he will keep my words. We need to be taking up our cross daily. And that means even, recognizing at times, though we are really persuaded that things should be done differently, it will be a benefit to permit the situation to go forward as the friends planned. And sometimes it's not going to work out, and that's okay. And it's not for us to say, well, I told you so afterwards. That's not the right attitude. But so that the experience can be learned and to recognize that the purpose of our walk together is to try to encourage each other and do what we can to help each of the saints make their calling and election sure. The Lord is going to really be pleased to the extent that we've been able to assist each other. And in some cases, that's going to require what Pastor Russell talks about in that article, the nearer you being near to perfection, but setting aside your will, and knowing that you understand how to do it better than maybe the collective decision of the ecclesia in some cases. Taking up our cross daily. Our Lord said something more. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls." And I specifically like this because it shows an emptied yoke being laid down and a full yoke being transferred to the shoulders of this man. And this is a photo current in Bangladesh. And so I actually asked the photographer, you know, I said, you know, I think this would be perfect to illustrate words of Jesus, knowing that the man, of course, would be Muslim, and he was perfectly fine. He said, "Sure, go right ahead and use it." You know, Jesus, of course, is a great prophet. So we have the correct. Sometimes I've heard discussions that are tying this in with cross bearing. I think this is actually the picture, though, of the kind of yoke that our Lord was referring to. And he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But let's look what the pastor has to say additionally on this. It says, "It seems to us that any who have no opportunity for suffering with Christ or rendering service cannot be of those called. For the terms are distinctly stated in the inspired word. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. The sufferings of this present time work out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ our Lord, if it so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." Now, these sufferings are not such as are common to humanity, a sickness, etc., incidental to sin and its penalty, death, but suffering for Christ's sake, which means activity in the Lord's service. That's why I was tying it in with this yoke bearing as opposed to the cross bearing. "Whoever, therefore, can find no opportunity to render service to Christ and to suffer something of self-denial, etc., in that service, has no opportunity for making calling and election sure." I'm going to apologize in a way in advance for the next slide, because you're going to say, "Well, wait a minute, that's not an image from Christianity at all." This is, if you remember Greek and Roman mythology, this is Sisyphus. He had a bit of an issue. He was required to roll that rock up the hill. And this is the state mankind's in. This is the state mankind's in. You know, he almost made it to the top, but strong as he was, he never actually made it to the top and made it over. It would roll down and then he tried to roll it up again. This is really a great picture for what mankind's struggling with right now. Those who are minding the things of this failed and outgoing world continue to offer various solutions for fixing these perplexities facing man. There was a brother who said to me at a convention, "Where do you think all this is leading? You know, all the problems in the world." And I said, "Well, the scriptures are clear. It's leading to the day of God Almighty, you know, to the day of this wrath coming down on the system." So, yes, you can look at those who are trying to roll the rock uphill, and we can even sympathize with, you know, their well-intentioned efforts to do that. But we need to remember that that's not what we're being called to do. And that's important. That's not what we're called to do. Our work is one that is focused on the kingdom and the blessings that are going to come to all the families of the earth through the kingdom. So, if a man love me, he will keep my words. We're to be resting from our own labors. But taking, not just resting, but resting from our labors and taking up the yoke of our Lord's service. What else did Jesus say? Well, we have Paul's words to the elders at Ephesus, as what a scene, as they were all kneeling down together and the crying going on because they knew they were never going to see Paul again. But him saying to them, I've showed you all things, how that through laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we know that this is a reference possibly to the Beatitudes. We actually don't have that quote directly in any of the four Gospels. We have it here by Paul saying, well, everybody knows that this is one of our Lord's sayings. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul gave more specific instructions to the Galatians. He says, as we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Undoubtedly, all who have good impulses will find numerous opportunities for benevolences and benefactions in a worldly way and in temporal matters. Recognize anybody in that photo there? Yeah. We have, but there are things that are a blessing, and Brother Russell talks about that in Volume 6. How much more may the new creation realize the opportunities for the wise use of their stewardship and moderation in respect to their personal affairs, so that we can make opportunity to serve the Lord, that they may use these opportunities which they see everywhere about them of dispensing the spiritual bounties which the Lord has so freely bestowed upon us. And through this stewardship, they might more effectively show forth the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, letting that light shine forth more clearly. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And some of those words include, it is more blessed. Oops. There was, let's see, I think I may need to restart at that slide here. Yeah, here we go. Let's just get back. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Does our Lord say anything additional in the way of commandments? He does. But we're going to stay with the five different areas of commandments that are presented here, and some of them interrelate, of course. The giving and receiving will link to the love for our neighbors. But as we think about what our Lord commanded when he said we would keep his words, we remember that the promise that comes with it is that he and his Father would then come and dwell with us. And that's part of this whole work of sanctification. That's what we're looking for, brethren. We want to have them coming and sitting at the table with us. We want to hear the knock on the door and open that door to them and let them come into our hearts and into our lives. But that will only happen if we keep his commandments. So what do we need to do? We need to love. Love for our Heavenly Father and Jesus, our neighbors, even our enemies, and for the brethren in the household of faith. We need to study Jesus' words, which are the Father's words, and to be students of all the scriptures, to build our character, our service, our understanding of doctrine and prophecy. We need to take up our cross daily. We need to rest from our labors and take up the yoke of the Lord's service. And we need, last of all, to remember our Lord's words, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and to be givers, and givers that are glad of the giving. And we just ask for the Lord to bless you in this coming week to that end. And we're going to close at this point with the singing of, I think I have it here. Yes, the singing of the hymn to the work. Let's remember taking up our yoke. Hymn 309, we're going to sing four verses, and we will be closing in prayer. We've asked Brother Chris Nepchinski to close in prayer for us. The hymn will be up on the screen for this one. That's weird. Now we'll see what comes. There should be a picture coming up. I saw a picture here, but it's not coming up. Let's see. That's weird. Okay.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that we could have this opportunity to be here together and to be reminded and to be refreshed by the various lessons and reminders that we've heard here today. And as we part, may your spirit be upon us as we consider how we should apply these lessons, how we should be more givers than receivers, and how we should learn from the words of our Master, and that they may dwell in us as we continue to make our decisions on a daily basis, how we can serve you better, how we can work, and how we can participate in this labor that we can become more enlightened and more better workers with each other as we continue. And we ask your blessing on the days ahead as we depart for various destinations. Please be with those who are traveling, who will be in the fellowship at the General Convention, and all the travels that are ahead of the brethren. May your care be upon all of us, and we give ourselves in your care and keeping, asking forgiveness for our shortcomings and sins. And we thank you for our dear Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.